do.
I'm a weirdo.
I do know you.
Check 1, 2. Are we recording?
We are recording.
Oh, okay. I'll start. Stop talking bad about Jose Aldo's mom.
Right.
What did she do to anybody?
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren and Ken Evans talking about everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And
lots to talk about.
It's like, I was ready to go on a one-hour rant about how I never want to see Vitor Belfort fight, and then Demetrius Johnson decided that was not in the cards for this week.
You were really upset about that Vitor Belfort fight.
It was so bad. And then when he comes out, he's like, hooray, guys, I'm going to be here for 5 months. No, I don't want you here for five
months. Oh, wait, is that what happened?
Yes.
Hooray! I watched much of the pay-per-view via means elsewhere, is the way I'll say it. So I didn't actually, was there some post-fight interview or something that happened?
Yeah, like he came out and he was talking about how great he thought the performance was, and John Anik set him up for the retirement, like, leave your gloves thing. He's like, surprise, five more, guys.
he's got five more on the contract.
And I was saying this on Sunday when I was talking on the Facebook page that I think it's Diz and Front Row Brian were both saying that they were 900% sure he had one more on his contract, and apparently he wanted to add 4 to that. So
I guess we'll find out more later. We don't want to get too much into that right now.
No, nor do I really, if it's not Anderson Silva, I don't know what else you do with
that. Nice little win, though, right?
I guess.
Yeah, okay, good, we found a fight. So we'll put that up on the shelf somewhere. Anderson Silva, GSP.
Yeah.
Or one of the old dudes.
Yeah.
Masters division, as you've
yes.
You've or, been a
or
proponent
as the
for
MMA community calls it, Bellator.
Bellator. Come on. Come on now. Rory McDonald doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't. And he's not in the Masters division. But I mean, like, the event that's coming up on the 24th is very much the Masters division.
Are you paying for that, by the way?
No, it appears that we're going to be sponsored by Celebration Cinema.
Who is
hosting it on the 24th.
So, oh, Bellator.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So look at you working behind the scenes.
I'm doing what I can.
All right. That's why he gets up so early and he's on Snapchat so early, everybody.
So we will obviously talk about that as we get a little bit closer to the 24th.
There's a lot of motivated people dead on top of Mount Everest, so that's why I tend to shy away.
From getting up so early.
From getting up so early.
So let's talk because...
Max Holloway. I think we have to start with that, don't we?
Over Demetrius Johnson?
I think we do. Just coming out of this weekend.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, we've got Demetrius Johnson stuff to talk about.
So let's talk about Max Holloway, and I will start by saying, for every one of you that tweeted at me this weekend that Jose Aldo sucks, you're totally wrong.
No, Jose Aldo doesn't suck.
He does not suck.
He's Tiger Woods.
He
got old really quickly, as fighters tend to do. It was a little bit surprising after he was able to beat Frankie Edgar last year at 200.
Yeah.
But he got old in that fight, and it was interesting, too, to see essentially this dismantling that Max Holloway did. He took his shots in the first, obviously, but you could kind of see him, okay, I can take a shot. Okay, I know his timing now. Figured it out, and then just brutalized him for the better part of the last half of the first round and all the way until the TKO in the third round, and he made Jose Aldo look old. Just like Tiger Woods got really old very quickly in golf, and guys who had grown up watching Tiger wanted their shot at Tiger. There weren't guys that were in awe of Tiger anymore. We talked about this back when Chris Weidman beat Anderson Silva.
Yes, because it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's guys who've been watching, and they know now that there's a level that they have to hit. And there was a great article about this on Deadspin, and they talked about the fact that when Max Holloway was getting the title put around his waist, there's probably some 16 or 17-year-old kid in Iowa or Dubai or somewhere in the world that's looking at him now, and if he ends up being a dominant champ like Jose Aldo was, goes, that's what I got to do to beat that guy. And in 5-10 years, Max Holloway could look very old. Again, I'm not extrapolating that Max Holloway's going to be as dominant as Jose Aldo was, but that's how this sport works. And sometimes, because it's fighting, it works very brutally, and it is very glaring when that actually happens.
And what is interesting about Max Holloway is you blink, and the guy's on an 11-fight streak.
Well, it's the interesting thing, too, because, again, I'm not paying a ton of attention to the division like I know you are, obviously Connor was kind of running around and he beats the guy in 13 seconds and wow, that's kind of cool. He's made this division interesting. When I was going through Max Holloway's record, he's basically cleared out the division already.
Which is where I was going, right?
So what do we do?
At the end of the press conference, he's like, I really admire Demetrius Johnson and how he wanted to like protect his homeland. And I was talking to on Monday in the office. I'm like, Max Holloway's on an 11-fight win streak, meaning he's beaten all but four of the guys in the top 15. So after he takes those other four, Frankie Edgar, which certainly should be one of them, what do you do then?
Yeah, Frankie Edgar, I think, is a great fight, especially after Frankie's most recent performance. Obviously, we still want to see Connor in that division. He said Connor's going to have to beg for him.
I don't think we're going to see him, though.
You don't think we
no.
will? It's going to be a while. I think
you're more likely... And I said this on Sunday, you're more likely, if the Floyd thing doesn't happen, and I'm more and more leaning to it happening, it may not be September, it might be May, because those are the two Floyd times, but if Floyd doesn't happen, I think you would be more likely to see Woodley McGregor than you would to see him go down to 145.
You think so?
Now, I'm not saying they're going to do Woodley, I'm just saying... I would be more apt to bet on that one versus him going down to 45 to fight Max Holloway again.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, what do you do in this situation, though, if he keeps saying he's the champ, he's basically trying to build that fight. I mean, that's how Connor works. And again, we know there's a lot of balls in the air, and sometimes Connor just promotes to promote. And we'll get into a little bit of this with the DJ talk later. But there has to be a fight at the end of the line for the promotion to actually work and for people to start cashing checks. So you would have to think that somewhere in there, obviously I think Frankie Edgar is a good matchup right now. We get to see that fight. And I think I'm looking at the division. I think he's the one that's kind of the best fit right now. Yep. Am I missing anybody?
He's the only one that I can think of off the top of my head.
So it's really interesting too, because Holloway, I'm looking at the list of UFC champs. He's 25. He's in that. Now, we for a long time have seen those champs hit that sweet spot right around 30, which is usually older for an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been partially a function of the fight game in and of itself, how good people have gotten at it in the past couple of years, and so many different things where it's a growing sport. So some of the guys who've gotten better at it kind of grew with it. I think Max Holloway could be this first generation of fighters where we see guys are going to be champs when they're in their mid-20s, if they're going to be champs at all, because now they're starting with MMA. I mean, Max Holloway, if you want to feel old, Eric, was born in 91.
Right.
So, I mean, UFC, he was 3 years old. When he was a teenager, they were into the heyday of some of the crazy old Zuffa-style fights, and right before things really popped back in the mid-2000s. So a guy like this, he's kind of looked at fighting and always geared toward that. He's not been a guy who's geared, well, I did judo, so I'm going to go try this thing.
Sure.
Or I've done
wrestling
or I boxed and I'm going to try this thing. There are more and more kids now that are going to be going to fight and do it at different levels. I mean, we have them around here. Kids are doing jiu-jitsu when they're very young now. They're doing light sparring. They're doing with the headgear and everything. You know, we're not as far ahead as Japan, where we've got 12-year-olds fighting 24-year-olds yet, maybe soon we'll catch up. But this is an interesting kind of dynamic and something I was kind of thinking about when I'm watching him, you know, after the fight, because you can see a lot of exuberance. He was kind of just insane in all the post-fight interviews, which is great. I mean, you need some of that fire and some of that energy, and you've got it now with this guy, Max Holloway, you know, and a guy who goes out there and he knows what to do. He says, hey, Conor McGregor is going to be begging me for the fight. And yeah, Conor McGregor is probably going to go, who the F is that?
Sure.
In the next presser whenever we get him back. And we build a little something here. I just thought it was very interesting. Jose Aldo does not suck by any means, but I think he got very old that night. And you saw a guy that it really didn't look like Jose was going to be able to beat him. After that first half of the first round, if he didn't do it there with what he was able to do, he wasn't going to do it the whole fight against a younger dude. That's never been Jose Aldo's thing. Pacing's never been his thing. It's always been an ability to find weakness, finish, either get in, get out quick, and do those types of things. Pacing, you know, that's a guy like Frankie Edgar. We always talk about his motor, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, because when you see Aldo struggle, it's against Hominick, which goes nearly mm-hmm. the distance. It's
right.
against the Korean Zombie that goes the distance. Right. When people drag him out, and it's one of the things that we always talked about with his weight cut. Because
regardless of Conor McGregor, though.
Yeah, regardless.
Other than that.
But, like, he doesn't... you know, he carries a lot of weight, so that weight cut's kind of brutal. So if you can drown him a little bit, you can start to see dividends. Now, no one has been as successful as clearly Max Holloway or certainly Conor McGregor, but...
But Max Holloway showed a lot more issues than Conor did.
Yes.
Obviously, Conor caught him 13 seconds. And again, I don't say caught him in a disrespectful way. A fight is a fight. That's part of the game. But in this instance, you basically saw a guy who spent 2 minutes kind of not taking a beating. That's the wrong word for it. But basically, for that first half of the first round,
I would say, right?
I mean, Jose was able to do what he wanted and wasn't able to close it out. And then he just goes, okay, oh, I got your I can take a hit from you, and now I'm getting your timing down. That's it. We're going to be done. And you're not going to throw kicks? Cool. Let's do this. And he just picked him apart. That second round was brutal, I thought.
Yes.
And it was interesting to kind of see in that third round how it just ended. And, man, Max Holloway, very impressed. It's a very impressive performance. I haven't seen one that's caught my eye like that in a while. And like you said, he's just kind of been sneaking through the division while everybody's talking about Jose and talking about Connor and talking about Frankie and any other guy that's in that division. Because basically we've been postering everybody up against Connor and trying to figure out who. And Max has been kind of just down there just beating everybody else up while the top two or three guys keep getting talked about. And now that he's champ, like you said, Eric, he's beaten pretty much everybody on the list.
Except for Connor, who beat him, right?
Except for Connor, yeah. And you say that fight's never happening, so I don't
picture Connor going back down, because I just think there's too much upside with all of the other things that he's doing. And I think one of the things that Connor has been masterful at is, number one, getting into all of these conversations when it's not even really about
right.
him. Right?
Well, I mean, there's a little bit about him here. Don't be unfair. He beat the guy. He's the guy that held the belt. You know, there's an air of legitimacy that's missing from this win, and that's something that Max Holloway is going to be thinking about and his team's going to think about. And if you have to look at making fights when you've beat most of the division, that certainly puts Conor McGregor rightfully into the conversation. Maybe he's dominating it a little bit more simply because of who he is.
And I would say, for me, the more interesting way to flesh this out is Conor McGregor and Max Holloway at 55.
Yeah, but is that fair to a guy who's basically committed to a division to say, now you've got to start moving around and this will kind of...
I'm not saying he has to move around. I think if you want to do the Conor McGregor fight, he's the champ at 55. He relinquished the 45 belt. He's the current champ at 150.
Has he? Because I keep hearing different things.
Yeah, he's not the...
Are you sure?
145 champ. No,
Have you checked with him?
I've not talked to him personally.
All right.
No.
I won't believe it.
But... relinquished the belt, so he's therefore no longer the champ, which allowed the 38 interim belts that we had coming in Saturday night. The good news is, even though Jose Aldo loses, he gets to keep the interim belt, so he's still champ in his own house, which is exciting.
Is that true?
I think it is true, actually, yes.
Well, I guess if you didn't bring it to the cage, they didn't get it from him beforehand.
Yeah, still champ.
Oh, my gosh. He's just sitting in his bathtub with it right
he's
now.
He's the vice president of championships at 145.
Hey, that's not good for the leather, bro. Get it out of the shower.
Point being that, you know, if you've got champion versus champion, that seems like a more Conor McGregor-esque thing to do. Not saying it's the right thing to do, but that seems like a Conor McGregor sort of thing to do. I already beat you at 45. You're the current champ at 45. I'm the reigning king at 55. Let's figure out which one of us is best.
I'm fine with that. I just think it's interesting
and
that...
If you want to make it interesting, put it at 150 and no one has to give up their belt.
Just a super fight,
champion versus champion. Mm.
I don't know how I feel about that, though, because the guy who takes the L has no chance to kind of get that thing back.
True, you do. To your point, come up or come down.
Now come down, right? Okay,
you
know, all right.
Fair you want enough. The actual belt, come up or come down.
What's funny is in about 5 minutes, Eric's going to be advocating for the little guy beyond belief, and he's telling
we have to wait
right now.
Minutes.
Right now he's saying, no, you got to gain the weight, man. Got to gain the weight.
What I'm saying is
he's now thinking about what
I'm
he
not.
Wants
I'm,
to say in a
I'm
couple
not going
to
change my Demetrius Johnson point of view, but what I am going to say is I feel that in this sport, the story is what sells the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet when the pay-per-view numbers come back, they're not awesome.
No, they will not be awesome.
They're not awesome. So it's not like people were clamoring to see this fight to begin with. Regardless of what an astounding performance Max Holloway put on, it wasn't really a great fight for Jose Aldo. It certainly wasn't a great fight for the Brazilian fans. Vitor Belfort didn't do anybody any favors. I think the problem with the Gedalia fight is that it once again makes JJ into the Demetrius Johnson of that division, where it's like, yeah, I mean, Gedalia steamrolled her, but she got steamrolled by JJ, so who cares?
Yeah, but it's one of those things where you look at it, and at least in that division, if we're going to kind of transfer over to talking a little bit about Demetrius Johnson here in a minute, there's always been a bit of a hook with the female division. That's not there with the guys. The guys aren't automatically given that little bit of a hook because there's a little bit of a, oh, cool, the ladies are fighting, and I know they're going to bring it. And sometimes the guys will fight, and they don't seem to bring it like the women do because
sure.
the women don't have as many opportunities.
Because Nate Marquardt has 5 kids, Vitor has 3 kids, and they drove the minivan to the fight, so it's going to be this boring 15-minute dance around.
He's so mad
I'm
about Vitor
so
Belfort.
Mad.
The phenom.
What did he throw, 4 punches in 15 minutes?
I don't know. Were they all at once, though? Was it at least fast?
Whew! No, it was not fast at all. No.
Oh, man. You were so mad. At least with the women, there seems to be a little bit of a hook because we've got an interesting story developing where Demetrius Johnson released a very long statement. Can you give me a TLDR?
Yes.
I read it, but let's get a TLDR just for the audience.
Well, let me say this before I give you the TLDR. If even only 8% of what I'm about to tell you is true, it's the craziest indictment of the UFC I have ever read.
Okay.
You with me? Yes? No?
We'll see.
Okay.
Keep going.
So Demetrius Johnson comes out yesterday and releases, as Ken said, a very long statement that walks through the trials and tribulations of working with the UFC, which is up to and continues to be Demetrius Johnson claiming he was not promoted properly. Demetrius Johnson saying that he wanted to fight Cody Garbrandt at the beginning. They wanted him to fight Ray Borg. He said he would fight Ray Borg for pay-per-view points. They said, we're not giving you pay-per-view points. You're still fighting Ray Borg.
That is the tree falls in a forest type of argument, though, as far as pay-per-view points.
Yes, but it also
not unfair to negotiate for.
Also shows that you're invested in the person who is currently aiming for the longest title defense in the franchise's history. And in my opinion, perhaps not yours, my opinion, the best fighter on the planet as we speak.
He might possibly be. That doesn't mean he's the fighter I'm most interested in watching.
Marketing aside,
yes,
he is the best fighter on the planet. And then he goes on to say that, okay, he's not getting pay-per-view points and you're fighting Ray Borg, so shut up. He goes, oh, okay, fine, whatever. Then Garbrandt gets hurt. And they come back and say, you're going to fight DJ or TJ. So it's TJ and DJ. And Demetrius Johnson says, okay, the guy's never made this weight.
So they were going to, but just to be clear, because I was a little confused. I was reading because a million stories came out.
Sure.
I thought initially that they wanted DJ to jump up in weight, but they want.
They wanted TJ to go down.
TJ Dillashaw.
Weight. So Demetrius was like, I don't want to do this because he's not even in this weight class and he doesn't have a belt and he lost to the guy that I beat. And so I don't understand why would we. This is not a super fight. This is just you trying to do right for TJ over what I need to do. And essentially turned to the UFC and said, I don't care what you want to do for TJ. I'm fighting for Demetrius Johnson, and Demetrius Johnson wants the following. I want to get a bonus structure if he can't make weight. I want pay-per-view points.
He wanted to get his full pay if for some reason TJ Dillashaw didn't make weight.
And they were going to put Ray Borg on the card, and that would be the fight anyway if TJ didn't make weight.
Which DJ was – Demetrius Johnson was not a fan of that, which I don't blame because he's the champion. Why all of a sudden is the champion
have to train for two people?
Try to train for two people when he's the champ. I get that. I guess I look at this entire thing, and it's long, and I'm sure it's been linked up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it was up yesterday morning. So,
if you want to kind of go dig through it, it's like you said. If some of this is true,
if even some of it,
there's an indictment there against the UFC. And I've been a big Dana White fan, but if you're just going out and making matches without talking to the fighter or if you're blatantly lying on either end, I don't agree with that. One thing I was kind of thinking, though, as I read this, and I want to know your thoughts on it. I haven't spoken with you about it yet. This looks a little bit to me, though, as if Demetrius Johnson sort of made this bed in the way he's been dealing with UFC over the years. And it looks like a situation where he finally has somebody in his ear maybe saying, hey, you shouldn't do this, but he doesn't have that pull to do anything about it anymore. He's in a division that they're willing to shutter. If he's telling the truth, they're willing to shutter the division. That means you don't have the pull for pay-per-view points. That means you don't get to pick your opponent. And you might be the best fighter on the planet, but that's not what people are paying to see right now. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. I agree with what DJ said and his reasoning 100%. My feeling, though, my takeaway, is that for a long time, he's either been deferring or he's known that he's not had a spot where he can essentially negotiate in a position of strength. And that's kind of led us down this road to this point. And again, I'm not trying to lay blame with Demetrius Johnson in this regard, but I simply get the feeling that maybe he's overplayed this one hand after underplaying his hand for so long.
Well, okay, I can see where you're coming from. The one I would say thing that I find interesting about the last 24 hours is that for all of the grousing about how Demetrius can't promote himself and nobody pays attention to Demetrius Johnson, no one has paid more attention to Demetrius Johnson ever than they have in the last 24 hours.
Oh, and that's right. And that's perfectly reasonable. I know that he put in there that he was paying attention to the YouTube videos and the promotion on Facebook, and he should do all those things as a fighter. But I mean, he has to understand that when it comes to some other fighters, they're going to get more promotion than he does. Yes, he's released the statement. He's gotten more people talking about him. It'll be very interesting to see what the UFC does or doesn't come up with in regards for his next fight. I just think that in this instance, they are clearly in the wrong, but he's gotten himself so far into the hole that it's kind of hard to dig out, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And one of the things I was talking to somebody in and around the UFC organization yesterday about this issue, and one of the things that's interesting is if you go back 7 or 8 years when you and I talked, Dominic Cruz beats Demetrius Johnson, and I texted you and said that if they open up 125, this dude will be undisputed. And That's exactly what they did. Now they're willing to reverse that decision and shut the whole thing down, which speaks to all of the things that you said. The one thing that it doesn't necessarily speak to is the fact that if they're willing to do this to a guy like Demetrius Johnson, what are they doing to these other fighters?
No, and that's a great point. That's a great point. But you would also have to assume if these other fighters are negotiating that their position is where it is at this point. I mean, Demetrius is in a very strange position where he's a champion, possibly the best fighter in the world, about to break a UFC defense record. But honestly, if you look at this as a business, which they probably are more than ever, as part of
to get that dollar bill
right,
back, yo.
As part of a corporate media conglomerate, WMEIMG, they are going to look for the return on their dollars, and it's just not there with this guy, regardless of the accolades. I mean, think about how long it took Floyd Mayweather to start making money, to really start making money. He was the best fighter in the world probably 10 years before he actually really started making money, and he had to make us pretty much hate him to start making the money.
Yes.
Because we were in West Michigan. We watched Floyd very closely, and it was amazing how good he was, how long he was good, and he wasn't making a dime compared to guys like De La Hoya, to other guys in the division, to other guys that weren't nearly as good as him. This is the same thing. This is part of the fighting game, and it's a sad situation that it's gotten this far. It does look like the UFC's kind of yanking around on this division. My thing is, if they're not going to pay attention to the division, it's probably better just to shut it down. We haven't seen anything in this division really stick other than DJ and his streak at this point, have we?
No.
We really haven't.
I mean, you can't even get Henry Cejudo to stick, right?
Right. And it's just one of those things. I just think when you get those guys that are that small, perception, whether it's right or wrong, is that these aren't as tough as those guys that are 185, 205.
I think it's further than that. I think one of the things about this sport is that we're still in the sport's infancy when you compare it to baseball and football, right? Like, and you still have a fair amount of people, and this is what I was talking about yesterday with my friend, is like there's still a fair amount of people that want to see what's going to happen this weekend. They want to see Derek Lewis and Mark Hunt stand in the middle of an octagon and beat each other senseless.
Could you get away with you? I mean, I don't even need to ask a question. You can't get away with headlining a card with two 125 pounders that aren't even in the top 10.
No.
Which is what they're going to do this weekend. Yes, I know it's a fight pass card, but you couldn't get away with it.
Well, they're both. Well, one's in the top 10. Derek Lewis is 7. Mark Hunt is 11. Right.
Okay. But so could we go dig up 7 and 11 in 125?
So Tim Elliott and right, like no, you could not. The point of me saying this though is I don't think, despite what we want the perception of MMA to be, the actuality of what MMA is it's street fighting in a cage, right? Like mm-hmm. the nuance of what we want it to be, where people are going to look at a guy like DJ and go, that is the most remarkable athlete I've ever seen in my life. That doesn't really exist as apparent by pay-per-view points, as apparent by the rest of the division could not headline a card. I mean, for the love of God, the Kevin Lee, Mike Chiesa fight, mm-hmm. like that's going to headline a card. That yeah. would never happen at 125.
No, not
it
a
likely
chance.
Would never happen at 135.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so let's not pretend that all things being equal, this sport is a bunch of really educated fans who are watching the nuance of what's happening when somebody goes for rubber guard or moves to mount or goes to side position or is ducking and slipping punches and setting up kicks that are hidden behind jabs.
And
that's not what's happening. And you see that, if we go back 20 minutes, you see that when people tweet at us that Jose Aldo sucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would take one exception to that line of logic, and that is I think that there's more recognition for everything on that list up until you get to the ducking and the weaving and the moving. I think anytime there's active movement, people pick up on it more. I mean, if somebody's in a guard now, the crowd for the most part knows somebody's in a guard. I think the lack of appreciation comes from the fact that DJ kind of skates in and out. And he's done that most of his fights. And he's done it with precision, and he's done it better than anybody else. And he never stops moving. He's probably got cardio that's right there with the Diaz brothers and their marathons. He's got all of that. That stuff, I don't know if we'll ever see that really, really translate in a fight. And when you talk about what MMA is closer to as far as sports, let's remember, as far as the money, it's closer to boxing than it is to anything else. And the guys in boxing that bring in the dollars bring in the eyeballs, and it just hasn't happened with DJ, and that's probably how this situation has gotten so ugly, because you've got to understand you're dealing with not only in Dana White's ego and then the business machinations and all of that behind the scenes, you're dealing with, rightfully so, and I've never said ego is a bad thing, the ego of an undefeated champion in that division who is possibly the best in the world at what he does. And he looks at every other fighter and he sees Mark Hunt's headlining a card. And he sees that Kevin Lee's headlining a card. And he goes and wants pay-per-view points like all the other champs. I'm about to beat Anderson Silva's record. How much money did he make over the years?
Sure.
How much was stacked on top of his pay-per-view? And he looks at all of that and goes, I'm better than all those guys. By far, by leaps and bounds. And you have this negotiation, and you have it get as ugly as it's gotten in the past 24 to 48 hours.
Well, and even uglier this morning, right? Because DJ, or sorry, Dillashaw is now clearly on the company side, as he should be, right? And he's jumping onto one part of Demetrius's letter was that Dana went out in the public and went to the media and said that the fight was booked in order to bully Demetrius Johnson to taking the fight because mm-hmm. it wasn't actually booked. And so this morning you got Dillashaw running around calling DJ a chicken shit and ducking him and all of that stuff, which only makes this thing worse. And then when you rewind the clock and go to the Reyes fight, which does no one any favors, and we said that heading into that, but what you saw is a human being that punched another human being 20 times in a row and then wasn't there when that guy went to punch him.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we can't appreciate that, I think, feeds into that frustration. And like I said at the beginning of this, if only 8% of that article is true that Demetrius Johnson wrote, you would think it's the worst job ever. You wouldn't stay there.
And I feel like sometimes you can create, and again, I'm not trying to lay blame. I know that's what it sounds like, but I don't think we both need to be here, you know, piling on UFC, so to speak, at this point. And I'm not taking anything away from his argument, but I also think in any situation, sometimes you can create that for yourself, and it sucks that it's happened. But I do feel like some of that's probably been created. And, you know, Demetrius wants to scream promotion on one side and then scream, I'm the champ and I fight this guy on one side. Sometimes those are differing roads. You've got your TJ Dillashaw. Go fight the company guy and you'll get the company promotion. And again, I'm not saying that even Dillashaw is a company guy. Feels that way. Feels like they're trying to get him a
right.
Well, but I mean, what do you do in this instance where you know a guy's cleared the division out? I don't think it's totally unreasonable to maybe say, hey, TJ Dillashaw wants to come down and fight for your title. He's no less deserving than most every fight that Demetrius Johnson had at this point. He really isn't. I mean, Demetrius Johnson's fought all the way, what, through number 12, pretty much in that division?
Yeah,
and he's had to.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, if you drop if TJ can make the weight, and again, there's a lot of different aspects to this, and I'm sure there's other parts of the story that we're not hearing. I would like to see TJ make weight once. I've always said that for the most part about championships. I think you need to have the guy make the weight once if he's going down. Let TJ make the weight once, and then this is a non-issue.
Okay, so
if TJ really wants the fight and he wants to run around and call somebody a chicken shit, I said this how many times about Cyborg over the past couple of years. You want to run around and keep calling Ronda Rousey out, you got to go make weight first.
Okay, so
TJ, you want to call out DJ, go make weight, fight in 2 months, and then we'll figure it out. Because you can have a fight at that weight class anytime you want, TJ Dillashaw. I mean, when did TJ fight last? I don't even remember. Was it the...
it's got to be, what, 6 months ago? I'm guessing.
December.
Okay,
so, dude, take a fight. Next week, you could take a fight.
Sure.
If you really wanted DJ, you could have taken 3 fights by now in that division. If you really want it. So I will call Dillashaw out for that. Come on. You wanted the champion,
but
you could have had the fight.
He was booked for Garbrandt, right?
So I understand that.
So like, it's not like he's not ducking DJ. I don't want you guys to listen to the show and think that.
Right, but you got to go make the weight to call that guy out.
100%. But here's the other thing I would say that I think is interesting about this argument and how these two intersect. Is a week ago, Jermaine Durandamé doesn't want to fight Cyborg.
We didn't even get a chance to get to
doesn't
this.
Want to fight Cyborg so bad, she's like, I don't care about my championship. I'm going back down to 35.
She tried to blow up her own division, which is
if you want to talk about, like, the, you know, dog being wagged by the tail, like, you're gonna let this woman go, I'm done at 45, there's nothing here, see you later everybody. And you haven't seen anywhere near, I haven't seen one Dana White rant about what a piece of garbage she is,
mm-hmm.
and how she doesn't want to fight Cyborg and what a terrible person she is and putting her on Front Street. You're not seeing any of that.
Oh, no. And I really think, and I think part of it because it happened during fight week and there were a couple other things there.
But name to me another more embarrassing thing for the UFC this year than your own champ going, I don't want to be a champ. I'm turning this whole thing off on you.
Here's the thing about that situation and why I feel like it hasn't gotten a lot as... I mean, it's gotten a little bit of play in the media. Obviously, UFC's kind of ignored it. Nobody thought that was a real championship fight. There was nobody in the world that thought
that
was a real...
But you started a division that has two people in it, and you won't fight the other one.
I'm with you on this, Eric. I'm just saying the reason it's not play is nobody really thought she was the champ anyways. Nobody did, so when she gave up her belt. Like, if people what interim champs do we have right now? Because I want to use an example. I feel like the UFC should have
Aren't we about
7.
To have, isn't that what Whitaker and...
Oh, God, that's
isn't
right.
Isn't that an interim?
Yes, that is.
The Yoel Romero-Whitaker fight?
Yes, the Romero-Whitaker fight. It's a co-main event for what used to be one of the UFC's biggest cards of the year.
Yes, which will instead be one that you might pay only slightly more attention to
when you did with
Jose Aldo and Max Holloway.
Let's say one of those dudes, let's say Whitaker wins. Let's call the upset.
Okay.
Let's say Romero wins.
Okay.
This isn't a great example because those are two really legit fighters. But let's just say Yoel wins and then says, I'm not going to fight for the belt anymore. Nobody's going to really care that much because it was the interim belt.
Sure.
They're going to be a little bummed we don't get the Bisping fight. But Bisping's still the champ. I sort of get that kind of vibe, but even to a less important extent with that 145 women's belt.
You created a division, though. This isn't an apples-to-apples comparison. Like, imagine... Here's a better example.
Imagine
if Max Holloway
mm-hmm.
essentially pulled an Ultimate Warrior and took the belt at 145 and just went home and never came back.
A better comparison would be the Ultimate Warrior gave it to a Make-A-Wish kid so he didn't have to meet
this
kid.
Is what I'm saying. Like, on the way to the airport...
I'm just going to give you a belt so I don't have to meet you.
Just gives it to a kid so he doesn't have to talk to him and then gets on a plane and goes home and never, ever, ever...
Right. But that's a rich history. That's a belt that's legitimate.
Yes. But you've you clearly created this.
We need to do Facebook Lives. You're getting so you are redder than your pants right now.
You clearly created this division so that Cyborg could fight in it, and now you can't get her to fight in it because the person holding the belt is like, I'm not holding it anymore.
Well, you do have a
You
do have a bit of a mess because you have to kind of create some kind of fight out of nowhere. I thought we were bringing all the Invicta girls over.
You know what I think we should
Women, do. I'm sorry.
You know what I think we should do? If it's not, I know Kat Zingano was one of the ones that's like, I'll sure, drop the belt, you moron. I'll fight Cyborg. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where, like, I would love to see Kat Zingano. I'd love to see Misha Tate. Like, I'll go, I don't care. I'll fight Cyborg. Mm-hmm. You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But my point in saying all of this stuff is you read this manifesto from DJ, and then not a week earlier, they don't fire Jermaine Durant.
I don't think she's getting another fight.
But I would have cut her that day. Like, I'm not going to fight Cyborg, and I'm no longer your champ. I'm going down to 135. Look, no, you're not. You're going home. Take your bags and get out.
We can have this discussion in a couple months because you know me. I believe everything's negotiation. I believe everything's negotiation. So until we get far enough down the line and through a different fight, I don't believe any of that.
I just feel if your champ literally shuts the door on your own division, that's not a negotiation you want to be in.
Well, she hasn't shut the door until she doesn't take the fight and they have to do something.
She's already
else.
Not taking the fight, though. Right. I am not going to fight Cyborg. Here is the belt back. I'm going down to 35. Where's Betch Kohea? That's essentially what she said.
Okay, but she hasn't actually. We haven't gotten that far yet. We're close, and this is kind of an insane situation. I'm not taking any of that away from you. Not taking any of that away. So don't give me that look. I'm just saying I feel like everything's – especially, I mean, Conor McGregor was never coming back to the UFC. Remember after UFC 200?
Yeah.
It was there the next pay-per-view, right?
Okay.
It felt like the next one or the one after that.
Be comparing Conor McGregor and Jermaine Durand.
I'm not
right?
allowed to compare anybody because either 145 women's title has a rich history.
I'm not trying to paint a rich history as if it's the Intercontinental Championship in the WWF. What I'm saying, and Jermaine Durand is not ravishing Rick Rude. None of those things I'm trying to paint here.
God rest his soul.
What I am saying, which is half the roster from the WWF.
God rest their soul.
What I'm saying is I find it really interesting that this organization is in such tumult that they can't even get that right.
Oh, for
Five
sure.
5 years ago, Dana White would have been like, get out.
Mm-hmm. If you're not going to defend, I'll put the number one contender in.
You can beg to come back into the organization. Right now, you're like, okay, it's fight week. I can't possibly deal with the champ at 145 shutting the division down. Oh, by the way, I've got all this time to tell you what a piece of garbage Demetrius Johnson is.
Here's an interesting thing. I don't mean to always bring this back to wrestling, but sometimes I feel like these environments, I mean, are so similar that they you see these creations and what's happening, and you have to wonder about the machinations. And I know I pointed this out to you a couple weeks ago. I was watching a documentary with Eric Bischoff.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about the success of WCW, which used to be the WWE's competitor, and I'm not going to rehash all of that, but I thought the really interesting thing that I saw there, which you and I have both dealt with in other levels of our careers, is the machinations that happen with a corporate structure, with money behind the scenes, with things that have to be taken care of that have nothing on earth to do with what you were hired to do. Dealing with suits, dealing with investors, dealing with random ass things that pop up out of nowhere. In this situation, a lot of the infrastructure around WCW, when Time Warner became involved, fell apart. It fell apart. You had this weird corporate structure. They didn't know what they had. They, you know, basically, hey, this freewheeling guy who Eric Bischoff only had to answer to Ted Turner. No. You've got a board of directors. You've got investors. You've got this. You've got that. You've got the other thing. I told you when this happened, I was very surprised that Dana took a quick deal. It felt like he took a deal very quickly for a very long time. And I said this at the time, and with just our little crack open into our peaks into that world, this is going to be a different environment than working with his two buddies that he grew up with. And I have to wonder if some of that isn't kind of showing up in these instances where, yeah, old Dana White would have said, you're fighting her next month at the pay-per-view, or she's fighting so-and-so for the title. But now, God knows where he's being stretched. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but you know this is true. And that he's probably got 1,000 other jobs right now that he never signed up for. And you have to wonder, in a situation like this, if that's not affecting it. Because I agree with you. You're 100% right. I feel like a couple years ago, this would have been called out very quickly. You know, the Fertittas and Dana would have said something along the lines, probably what you said, you're going to defend this belt, or this belt is going to be defended this way. I mean, this is a company that gave Ronda Rousey her title. Gave it to her.
Yep.
They handed it to her on a stage, and it was legit because you're like, these guys pay attention to fighting, they know what they're talking about, and she's going to have a title match immediately. There you go. And now you've got a somewhat of a corporate structure. I don't know how the system works at WME, IMG, but it's a different beast. I can guarantee that. And you have to wonder, when you see things like the DJ thing, when you see things like the 145 women's division possibly going poof out of nowhere, and this card, I mean, we'll get to this later, I'm sure, in other podcasts.
The one coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is coming up. Man, have you ever felt, last year at this time, last year, today, we were talking about Brock Lesnar showing up to headline UFC 200 with a Jon Jones fight and a possible, I think we were still in the midst of a Conor McGregor mess.
And don't forget, this time last year, there was two other events the preceding two nights.
Yeah, we had the championship fight on Thursday, and then I believe Jędrzejczyk defended on Friday.
Yep.
For something like... So that's where we were last year. This year, we're talking about Amanda Nunes defending her belt, which, okay, that's fine. I don't think she's got the cachet yet that some of the previous women's champions have had. And then you've got an interim title belt with an entirely legit fight, but neither of these guys are champion, and neither of these guys walking out with the belt are going to be considered champion.
Yeah, and you've got Lawler and Cerrone, which I'm clearly excited
about.
Which,
again, like I think I said this a couple weeks ago, that's a huge undercard fight. But I feel like they're trying to carry some of the card with some of these other fights. And
yeah. Oh, no, I mean, clearly, because the main card is this. It starts with Pettis and Jim Miller, Verdum and Overeem, Lawler and Cerrone.
And then those are all great, solid,
yep,
amazing fights. And they could be underneath the main event on most every other card.
And then you get to the interim championship at middleweight, and then you get to Shevchenko and Nunes for the championship.
Man.
And you're going to find out, I'm going to tell you this right now, friends, you're going to find out that as awesome as Amanda Nunes is, and she's awesome, she is not going to pull like Ronda Rousey.
No.
The problem, dear God, JJ won't pull like Ronda Rousey.
It's weird, too, because we talked about this a little bit with Brock Lesnar in the heavyweight division when we talked about Stipe's fight a couple weeks ago. It's weird to kind of see how the shine can come off depending on how a division shakes out. Chris Weidman was a dude that was really starting to pop before he lost his belt. That's because he took it from the dude that had it forever and then beat that dude again. In Nunez's
broke
case,
the dude in half.
Yeah, literally. Literally. You know, she didn't initially beat Ronda Rousey to take the belt. She beat somebody who beat somebody else who beat Ronda Rousey.
Right.
And again, obviously, she was able to then beat Ronda Rousey later, but it just didn't feel like it had the same pop because we had already seen Ronda lose. And it's kind of weird to kind of see this women's division. She's a legit fighter. I think she should be co-main on any card that she's on. Problem is, we don't have a main event on this card. I'm going to say it. We don't have a main event on this card.
No, and it's partially, to go back to what we were just talking about, it's partially because you're in the same situation you are with DJ. There's no really real division at 35 in the UFC for women because it's Amanda Nunes and a bunch of people that are going to try and beat her than Woat because that division hasn't really...
I think Misha Tate's still top three in that division and she retired.
Right, and it hasn't maturated in the way that these other divisions have maturated. And the same thing with JJ, which is what we saw this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, Gedalia, that you just steamrolled another competitor. Amazing performance. But you threw everything but the kitchen sink at JJ. She shook it off and beat you to death for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. But at least with that fight, we got some interest in there. I think that's better than like some of the steamrolls we've seen.
Yeah, except for what you saw is that you threw everything you had at her and she shook it off and went, eh, that was nice. I'm going to beat you up now for 15 minutes. Now that you're done. Which... Again, that was a fun fight, but two things. JJ can't do too many of those. No fighter can. And two, she still beat the bricks off you, so it's not like I want to see it again.
Right, yeah. No, you're right.
And then this weekend, I'm excited for this fight.
Good. But, we have finally something on the show we're excited about.
I think you're who wouldn't be excited anytime that Mark Hunt and Derek Lewis fight? Because it's exactly – to go back to what we're talking about with DJ, this is what people want in the sport. They want two giant men to stand in the octagon and punch each other.
No, that's great. I love Mark Hunt fights too, because for months after, he talks crap about the other fighter.
Yes.
All the stuff he forgot to bring up beforehand. He gets
pissed
about.
Because he has a concussion and can't remember to do it.
Probably, yeah. The drugs and the IV. He's mad at Overeem now. Did you hear about that? Because Overeem got an IV. He's mad at everybody. Do you follow him on Facebook?
Yeah, no, he's the
angriest. It's insane. Insanity.
But this is, again, let's go back 20 minutes. Demetrius Johnson writes a manifesto, and we want to, like, shut the division down and throw him out. Mark Hunt has sued the UFC. Mark Hunt, like Mark Hunt is an enemy to the state, and he's still like headlining a pay-per-view.
Hey, man,
think about that.
New Zealand dollars spend the same, even though they're
as a lawyer
flamingo colored,
actively suing his employer, headlining a pay-per-view.
They're freelance contractors
headlining a pay-per-view while in litigation with your employer.
So
that is what's happening on Saturday night.
Fair enough.
Derek Lewis, Mark Hunt. Again, it's everything that everyone wants in this sport. Derek Lewis, I think, has become the fan favorite just because of his fighting style and the fact that he ends every fight by going, I'm not the most technical, but I'm going to go in there and bang.
What time is this?
Well, this is in New Zealand, so I think it's 10 p.m. Eastern, because we're still going to do the crazy we don't care about you Australia thing.
Not like in Sweden?
Right, where they put it on at noon because they really care about Sweden.
I texted Eric. I'm like, hey, like your third cousin is going to be on in like 5 minutes. You're like, aren't they showing it later? No. Nope, you got to watch it now or at 1 in the morning.
Or at 1 in the morning, yes.
That was fun, too, by the way.
That was a very fun fight.
Yeah, I hadn't gotten a chance to talk
to
you about that fight.
I still think, and we'll get to this weekend real quickly, but I still think that Gustafson is not going to beat DC or Jones, but it was a good fight.
See, I don't know, man. John Jones, he had the ring rust last time. I think it was Brendan Schaub. I was watching Fight Companion while the fights were on this time. I think he said it with the sharpness. You thought he was slow, but he was as sharp as I've seen any fighter in a while.
Okay,
which is kind of a weird amalgamation, but you could sort of see it with Gustafson.
You're not going to beat John Jones or DC with video game button mashing. Like, you don't get to throw 7 uppercuts till the guy falls down.
Not against DC right now. Maybe against John.
It's not going to happen.
I think it was Schaub. It's kind of hard to keep up on the Fight Companions. If you've never listened, have you ever listened to him with Joe Rogan?
Yes.
I was never able to sync him up. I was able to actually do it this time. I think it was Brendan Schaub said this guy would beat John Jones right now, and I thought that was very interesting to hear from a fighter.
With all of his story championship fights.
I'm just saying. Okay.
All right. And then also co-main event, Derek Brunson, Daniel Kelly is fighting. Dan Hooker, Ross Pearson on the card. And then, you know, it goes down into the you don't care.
Yeah, you fight pass cards.
Yeah. So, again,
these guys are getting gigs.
Yeah. A fun heavyweight bout with a man suing the organization, headlining a card.
Actively,
as you mentioned. As we are speaking right very now. As always, you can follow along on Twitter and Facebook.
Typing things.
At Wow Show. And I have not brought this up to you, but I do want to say that if we get together for UFC 213, I think it might be really interesting to do our own Fight Companion on Facebook Live. I think that'd be kind of fun. So we might do that for
Can you pick a card I want to watch?
No, I think it's better if you don't want to watch it, actually. I think people would enjoy it more.
Speaking of the Celebration Cinema thing, they're doing the Mystery Science Theater type of thing. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Because I know we're going to be out there in a couple weeks.
I don't think they're going to let us do it for Bellator. I would like that.
They should let us do it for Bellator. They should let us practice.
Yes. So that is coming up on 6/24. We will give you more details. CelebrationCinema.com if you want to get tickets for that. As always, Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.